Part B.
Now, in verses 1 through 8, where the parable is, I saw the parable in probably four parts. I saw an accusation in verse 1. I saw an accounting in verses 2 through 4. And I saw attitude and actions in verses 5 through 8. The accusation, you're wasting or squandering. The accounting, look, we're going to have to give an accounting of this. And then he goes like, oh wow, and you're off the job until this is resolved, because it involves my money. Agreed? It involves my money. I mean, the squandering, the wasting involved his money, which we know. So he said, look, you're off the job. The books are shut until there's an accounting here. I'm not accusing you of stealing. I'm just, there's money. There's money. Something's wrong with the money deal here. It's not flowing the way it ought to be. Your bookkeeping is terrible. If it balances out after we get an accounting of it, an audit, if it balances out, then we'll put you back. If it doesn't, consider yourself done. Well, he knows that he's dead in the water. Once that accounting's done, once the bookkeeping's checked out, he's dead in the water. And so he comes up with a shrewd scheme. Looking out for his future, because I can't do this, I can't do that, and I'm not strong enough, I'm this, I'm that. And so I've got to somehow take the skills I have and the things I've learned, and somehow I've got to be able to sell them when I get laid off. I've got to be able to sell myself to somebody else. The most likely people is here, so I got to make a deal. He wants his accounting, and that's how, so I got to make the books do something over here. At the same time, I got to look out for number one over here. See what I mean? Because when the books are done, especially the way he's finishing this thing out, he ain't got a job for anything. So he's looking, trying to figure a way to get the next job, looking out for his future. All right, so here are my 5 points that I saw. In verse 8b, I saw a concept. You always pay attention to this in verse 8 when Jesus said, I say to you, is that in your text? I say to you. I say to you. All right. In this NAS Bible I've got right up here, it's not there, but it's in the original. I say to you, that's a key where Jesus is trying to bring the points. So he says, I say to you, and he talks about the shrewdness with the details of life as a concept. Then in verse 9, I saw a point 2 in verse 9. Oh, there's where it is. I say to you in verse 9, I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of mammon of unrighteousness, that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwelling. That's where he compares the two concepts of righteousness and unrighteous ideas. And that's where I want you to get that point. The point 3 was in 10 through 12, the secular versus the spiritual attitude. And what he does in here is interesting. He takes pistos and eidakos, he takes the faithfulness on the one hand and unrighteousness on the other. Look, the unrighteous steward, looking out for himself, did some interesting things, and he praises him for it. Had he been faithful in what he had been, watch what Jesus says. Watch. Look at verse 10. He who is faithful, this is what he wanted from the steward and didn't get it. He who is faithful in very little things is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in very little things is unrighteous in much. If therefore, and that's a first-class condition, and it's true, if therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? Look, here's what he's saying. God's going to give you details of life. And he wants to see, listen, the key for God is, are you faithful with it? Because he's not going to give you more until he can trust you with what you have. Do you understand that? See, details of life, God uses them in your life to test faithfulness to him. He uses details of life to test your faithfulness to him. Do you understand that? Listen to me. You're not looking out for number one here. You're looking out for number one there. Number one is Jesus, not you. You're not number one. When God gives you details of life, you're looking out for number one, who is Christ. You understand that? That attitude is essential. Now, what are the details of life? Well, look, I believe I put them under point three. Go over to point three, because I'm going to take a break here, and let me show you. Now, these are details of life. And remember, God's going to give you details of life. He's going to give you details of life. And what he's going to test in your life about is how faithful you are with it. Do you understand that? He who is faithful in very little things is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in very little things is unrighteous in much. If therefore, and it's true, if therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous details of life, who will entrust you with the true riches of details? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? Listen, by the time, listen, he gives them to you, they're his, and you're the steward. And when that becomes an absolute modus operandi in your life, he'll let you have it. And until then, it's his. You're the steward. He's the owner. And when he can trust you with it, he will let you be the owner. Did you hear that? See, he's the one that signs off, not you. He signed, it's his. It ain't yours. You say, well, I got it. Huh? Well then, turn around and it'll be gone. Let me tell you, he's a source. And when he can trust you with it, he'll sign off on it. On whatever possession it is. Now listen, in point number three, I listed a few. This just gives you a general idea. What are the details of life? They're legitimate things that a believer is able to accumulate in his life by the grace of God. How'd you come into this world? How did you come into this world? Naked. You didn't come in with anything. You came naked. You know how you're going to leave? Same way, naked and somebody else. Listen, you came in birth naked and somebody dressed you. You're going to die naked and somebody's going to dress you. And in between that is called possessions of life. And listen, even the unrighteous know you can't take it with you. Even if you took everything and buried it with you like the Egyptians did, still you still don't go with you. So, 1,000 years later, somebody gets into the tomb and sees all the stuff and takes it. Can't take it with you. You're naked, you come in, naked, you leave. Somebody dresses you in detail. Somebody dresses you on the way in. Somebody dresses you on the way out. And everything in between it, zero. So listen, if you want anything in the next life, you better start laying up treasures in heaven while you're here. Because you don't take it with you. And all these details, they're gifts from God to test your faithfulness. Bottom line. It's what Jesus said. Here are some details. Possessions. What are the things you have since birth? Those are details of life. I got 26 pairs of shoes. I don't. I'm just saying. Some people say, I have 26 pairs of shoes. I got this, I got that. Possessions, write them all down. You know, the insurance man comes along and says, look, what do you have? You know, I have this, I have this. Where'd you get it? Well, I worked hard. Nose to the grindstone. Let me tell you where he got it. Got it from God Almighty. You're about to, listen, America's about to find out where they got it. America's about to find out where they got it. Possessions, professional success and reputation. You know, I tell you, God promotes you. Riches and wealth, social status, pleasures, loved ones, marital sex, fame and fortune, and the list goes on. You understand that? Nothing wrong with these things. There are things you accumulate from birth to death. That's what I'm talking about. That's called details of life. Naked you came, naked you're going to leave. Somebody dressed you coming in, somebody dressed you go out. Those were two details. You, listen, you'd be lucky if you got somebody on either end of those, all right? And everything in between, you got to take it with you. What you need to do is be a good steward of it. And understand it. He gave it to you. He's the owner of it. You don't have anything. Yeah, but my name's on it. No, it ain't. All right. Well, look. There's probably an Indian had that name on before you were. Who knows before that? You understand? Well, I own this property. Like you, when God created it, he signed it over to you, right? Think how many people been on your piece of land and how many people will be on it after you're long and gone. Somebody else will go, this is my piece of land. Let me tell you whose piece of land that is. God's. That's for sure. The rest of it, we're squatters. Details of life. Boy, you better get all over it. You better get all over this subject matter, because I'm going to tell you, there's going to be crunch time on details of life. And you need to be okay with it. Because let me tell you, you got the source, you got everything. You got the details, you got nothing. A fire, windstorm, hailstorm, thieves, rust. Jesus said, put your treasures where the thief can't get it, rust can't get it, yaddy, mold, or the government. Russell Jones, why don't you come up here? I had him dress up today. So I got to award him with something. 10 years ago, one of the lowest ratings on the Southeastern U camp we got back from campers every year was food. And we, as a staff, went back and took a look at the idea of the possibility of could we run a kitchen for 200 people with a kitchen that feeds about 150 or 100 to 150. Could we actually feed with a small kitchen that's only appropriate for about 100, 150 people? Could we feed 250? Russell was one of the guys that felt very strong about this and was one of the lead people on this idea to make it work. And he became the director of this congregation towards that goal of ministry. And it turned into quite a ministry. He ran the kitchen. When I would go out there, he ran me, which was a new experience for me. Then Russell went through some physical problems. I personally did not believe he would be capable of running the kitchen any longer. Myself, John Dyer, and him, I felt we probably should turn the kitchen back over to the camp. So I pulled the staff together to discuss that idea about that for last year, with everybody's health going down, and Russell wouldn't hear it. So I said, okay. Man, how do I know what the Lord wants to do in your heart? And so Russell wanted to complete a 10-year program in his life that he felt God had put in his heart to do 10 years of ministry out there. And how many more, he doesn't know, but it was that he wanted to do 10. And this year, knowing his condition and knowing how it went, and knowing that a lot of the strong support that had been with him 10 years was going to be in the background and not in the foreground, I saw in my own life, I saw God work in miraculous ways in this man's life. When camp was over, I thought to myself, we need to acknowledge people that have a walk with God that's phenomenal in whatever category, and when it's identified, we should acknowledge that and not wait till a funeral to do that. I wind up always at funerals going, telling a lot of things, and the person never gets a chance to be a part of that award. So I got to thinking about it when camp was over this year, and I have what's called the Silver Spoon Award. To Russell Jones, Southeastern Youth Kitchen, 2000 to 2010. And Russell, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. No speeches. All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks to all the volunteers. Can't do it without you.
Yep. Yep. What, you said you weren't going to talk. Well, I know. Well, we thank you. We thank you. I wish Boyce and Deborah would have been able to be here with that, but I needed to get that done while I still had a frame of mind set to do it, and I had the plaque because odds are I'd have lost it within a week. Well, we thank you. I'll come back to my subject matter next time. This is about as far as I can get today. And again, I'm so thankful for all of those. I say it with Russell, all those people. It takes a small army to run both camps, and it probably takes 85% of my church to do it. And we're so thankful for that kind of service and dedication. Those who can't go to camp and serve, why, they give money and do all the things that are necessary to make them possible. And so I thank you. I thank you. Well, Father, we're so thankful for your marvelous grace. I thank you, Father, for the support of this congregation to the ministries of this church. God, we are a light to the world, and the salt of the earth. I'm thankful, Father, that people in this church understand much of what I'm saying, and those who don't will learn it, and we'll live by it, because that's why we're here on earth. And the possessions we have is to test our faithfulness. That's what Jesus said with them. And I pray, Father, we would take that test, we would embrace it, we would love it, because we love the source more than the detail, for we've made our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.